couldn't kill us all. We throw ourselves against the wall. No one else can see the preservation of the mother in me. Welcome to Psychosocial. I'm Dylan Collins. Now, I know everyone is doing something different and unique tonight on the radio, so I thought I would share with you something I call musical Mad Libs. Now, I asked Read to Me Melly, beloved star in Clary, to submit three lines of dialogue and a song and not tell me what any of them were. And I'm going to attempt to tell a story with musical numbers, having no idea what the dialogue or songs that I'm going to plug into the story are, and we're just going to see how this turns out. Full disclosure, because I'm a moron and forgot to tell Clary to keep her stuff a secret, I have a vague idea of what she's doing, and I've also got a vague idea on one of Beloved's lines and what Melly's song is. But I already wrote the story, the story's done, and I really don't know what this stuff is, so it's not enough to affect the story. So sit back, relax, and listen to the musical Mad Libs version of Clary Locks and the Three Bears. Oh yeah. Once upon a time in a large forest close to a village stood the cottage where the teddy bear family lived. They were not really proper teddy bears like Jeffers, because Father Bear was really Jewish, Mother Bear had won a few competition shows, and only Baby Bear could really be described as a teddy bear, but since she was a chick, she was known as Melly Bear. Each bear had its own size bed. Father Bear's was large and nice and comfy and shaped like a menorah. Mother Bear's bed was mid-size, and Melly Bear had a fine little cherrywood bed that Father Bear had ordered from a couple of their beaver friends, but she rejected it in favor of something made from maple wood, eh? But beside the fireplace, around which the family sat in the evenings, stood a large carved chair for the head of the house, a delightful blue velvet armchair for Mother Bear, and a very little chair for Melly Bear. Neatly laid out on the kitchen table stood three bowls, a large one for Father Bear, smaller one for Mother Bear, and a little bowl for Melly Bear. The neighbors were all very respectful to Father Bear, and people raised their hats when he went by. Father Bear liked that he always was, like, greeted, and he always politely replied to their greeting by saying,
"Excuse me, can we have your liver?"
Which was the traditional Jewish greeting. Mother Bear had lots of friends, and she visited them in the afternoon to exchange singing tips and recipes for jam and bottled fruit. Baby Bear, however, had hardly any friends. This was partly because she was recently named the winner of Conquer Your Voice and chose to flaunt it all the time. Like, any time Conquer Your Voice was even mentioned, she always said,
"Jeez, lit the fuse on your tampon."
Which clearly upset people when that happened. So not far away lived a fair-haired little girl who had a similar nature to Melly Bear, only she was really posh and stuck up. And even though Melly Bear asked her to come to her house and play all the time, she always said no. And this made Melly Bear sad. And so she broke into a quiet song about her feelings of loneliness and isolation.
"It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. Without saying a word, you can light up the dark. Try as I may, I could never explain. You catch me.
So, anyway, that kind of creeped Clary Locks out a little bit. It was like she had some weird girl crush on her. So one day, Mother Bear made some pudding, and it was a new recipe, and it was delicious looking. Her friends all told her it was delicious. They were like, "You gotta try this shit, yo." And in response, Mother Bear said,
"It's true, I'm having a party. I've got 3 cases of imported beer, karaoke machine, and I didn't invite anyone from the other 2 teams. So 3 ingredients for a great party."
Yeah, what I forgot to mention is Mother Bear loved to party. That was like her favorite thing. She was kind of a booze hound a little bit. But that really isn't relevant to the story, I guess. But while you're listening to the story, just know Mother Bear likes to drink. So anyway, she made this pudding. And when it was ready, she said to the family,
"I laugh in the face of danger. Then I hide until it goes away."
Because Mother Bear, she was not a very good cook, so her food was kind of dangerous sometimes. But Melly Bear was so excited that she burned her tongue on the pudding and she started to cry. "It has to be left to cool now, otherwise it won't taste good. That'll take at least an hour," said Mother Bear. "Yeah, thanks, I got that part," said Melly Bear. "Why don't we go and visit the beaver's new baby? Mommy Beaver will be pleased to see us," said Mother Bear. Father Bear and Melly Bear, they much rather would have just eaten the pudding, hot or not, but they liked the thought of visiting the new baby. Thinking about the new baby, Father Bear said,
"Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony. If I went around saying I was emperor just because some moistened bint lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away."
Which was his way of letting Mother Bear know that he agreed with her decision to go see the baby. And so they set off along the pathway towards the riverbank. A short time later, the stuck-up little girl, whose name was Clary Locks, passed by the bear's house as she picked flowers. "Oh, what an ugly house the bears have," said Clary Locks to herself as she went down the hill. "I'm going to peep inside. It won't be beautiful like my house, but I'm dying to see where Melly Bear lives. Knock, knock." The little girl tapped on the door. "Knock, knock." Not a sound. And, like, she wasn't saying knock, knock, but, like, that's the sound that she made when she knocked because she was super British. So she thought about it for a moment, remembering an old song about the hazards of breaking and entering that she learned in school. She began to sing it.
"You're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you. Old friend, why are you so shy? Ain't like you to hold back or hide from the light. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away. I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I remember you said sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah, you know how the time flies. Only yesterday was the time of our lives. We were born and raised in a summer haze, bound by the surprise of our glory days. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away. I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I remember you said sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah. Nothing compares, no worries or cares, regrets and mistakes, their memories made. Who would have known how bittersweet this would taste? Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you. Don't forget me, I beg. I remember you said sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. Sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah.
Then she thought to herself, wait a minute. This has nothing to do with breaking and entering at all. Surely someone will hear me knocking, she said to herself impatiently. Knock, knock, anyone at home? She called, peering round the door. Then she went into the empty house and started to explore the kitchen. Pudding! She cried, dipping her finger into the pudding bowl that Mother Bear had left to cool. Quite nice, she murmured. She went to the first bowl. This bowl won't do. It's too large. Then she went to the second bowl. This bowl has too many winning contest badges on it, because Mother Bear liked to decorate her bowls with VH badges. She got to Melly Bear's bowl, however, and she said,
I was very rude to the both of them, and then I went to the manager and told them that this girl had been very impertinent, and how could I know what would happen afterwards? If she'd been some miserable, plain little creature, I don't suppose I would have done it. But she was very pretty, and looked as if she could take care of herself. I couldn't be sorry for her.
So, as you could see, she had no recourse but to eat the pudding out of Melly Bear's bowl. And she dug in. She spooned the pudding from Melly Bear's bowl. In a twinkling, the bowl was empty on a messy table. With a full tummy, Clary Locks went on exploring, coming up on three chairs. First chair was way too big for her. This chair's too big for me, she said. That's how I knew it was too big for her, because she had said that. The second chair she looked at with distaste, and she said,
We fail, but screw your courage to the sticking place and we'll not fail. When Duncan is asleep, whereto the rather shall his day's hard journey soundly invite him, his two chamberlains will I with wine and wassail so convince that memory, the warder of the brain, shall be a fume, and the receipt of reason a limbeck only. When in swinish sleep their drenched natures lie as in a death, what cannot you and I perform upon the unguarded Duncan? What not put upon his spongy officers, who shall bear the guilt of our great quell?
And this one must belong to my friend Melly Bear. I'll just sit on it a while, she said. With these words, Clary Locks sat herself down onto the little chair, which, unused to such a sudden weight, promptly broke a leg. Clary Locks crashed to the floor, but not in the least bit dismayed by the damage she had done, she went upstairs. Meanwhile, Melly Bear had been chasing one of the beaver children around with a sharp stick, cackling and yelling,
Okay, wait a second. Did you just throw a Hot Pocket at me?
Because if there was one thing Melly Bear did not like, it was Hot Pockets. That was like her war cry. But she fell down and busted her ass and began to cry. Mother Bear came rushing out, scooping up Melly Bear in her arms, and began to sing her this song. She always sung Melly Bear whenever Melly Bear was upset.
Strangely exciting to watch the stars.
Anyway, back at HQ, Clary Locks had gotten super tired, and there was no mistaking which was Mellie Bear's bed.
Quite comfy, she said, bouncing on it. Not as nice as mine, but nearly.
Then she yawned. I think I'll lie down, only for a minute, just to try the bed. And in next to no time, Clary Locks lay fast asleep in Mellie Bear's bed. In the meantime, the bears were on their way home. Wasn't the new beaver baby so small? Said Mellie Bear to her mother. Was I as tiny as that when I was born?
Not quite, but almost, came the reply.
Liar, said Mellie Bear. I was so that small, and don't you try to lie.
From a distance, Father Bear noticed the door was ajar.
Hurry, he cried. Someone is in our house.
Was Father Bear hungry, or did a thought just strike him? Either way, he dashed into the kitchen.
I knew it. Somebody has gobbled up the pudding.
And with that, anyone could see he was in pain and anguish. He knelt to the ground, looked up towards the sky, and said,
"She turned me into a newt." I got better.
Someone has been jumping up and down on my armchair, complained Mother Bear.
And somebody's broken my chair,
wailed Mellie Bear. Where could this culprit be? They all ran upstairs and tiptoed in, amazement, over to Mellie's bed. In it lay Clary Locks, sound asleep. Mellie Bear crept up to Clary Locks and said into her ear,
Winter wrap up, ponies?
Damn it, Mellie, don't ruin this with ponies.
Who's that? Where am I?
Shrieked Clary Locks, waking with a start. Taking fright at the scowling faces bending over her, she clutched the bedclothes up to her chin, then she jumped out of bed and fled down the stairs.
I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't enjoy hurting anybody. I don't like guns, or bombs, or electric chairs. But sometimes people just won't listen, and so I have to use persuasion. My parents, Sharon and Dave, generous, doting, or were they? All I ever wanted was a ballerina Barbie in her pretty pink tutu. My birthday, I was 10, and do you know what they got me? Malibu Barbie. That's not what I wanted. That's not who I was. I was a ballerina. Graceful, delicate. That was it. My parents had to go.
She told herself as she ran, forgetful of all the trouble she had so unkindly caused. But Mellie Bear called from the door, waving her arm. Don't run away. Come back. I forgive you. Come and play with me. Mother Bear shouted to Clary Locks.
You are a sad, strange little man. You have my pity. Farewell.
And that's how it ended. From that day onward, haughty, rude Clary Locks became a pleasant little girl. She made friends with Mellie Bear and often went to her house. She invited Mellie Bear to her house, too, and they remained good friends always. When they grew older, Mellie Bear wrote a screenplay about this crazy time and sold it for $5 million. A movie was made starring Seth Rogen as Father Bear, Rihanna as Mother Bear, Dakota Fanning as Mellie Bear, and Emma Watson as Clary Locks. The theme song for the movie was number one on the chart for 50 weeks. And since that's all in the future, I would like to be the first to premiere the theme song for Clary Locks and the Three Bears. I think as you listen, you will see how it relates to the story and tells this wonderful tale. The end.
Baby, look at me and tell me what you see. You ain't seen the best of me yet. Give me time, I'll make you forget the rest. I got more in me and you can set it free. I can catch the moon in my hand. Don't you know who I am? Remember my name, Fame!
gonna live forever. I'm gonna learn how to fly high. I feel it coming together. People will see me and cry fame. I'm gonna make it to heaven. Light up the sky like a flame. Fame. I'm gonna live forever. Baby, remember my name. Ba ba. Baby holds me tight, 'cause you can make it right. You can shoot me straight to the top. Give me love and take all I got to give. Baby, I'll be tough. Too much is not enough. I can ride your heart till it breaks. Ooh, I got what it takes. Remember my name, fame. I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna learn how to fly high. I feel it coming together. People will see me and cry fame. I'm gonna make it to heaven. Light up the sky like a flame. Fame. I'm gonna live forever. Baby, remember my name.
So that was my show, guys. There's going to be two more shows tonight. Charisse's show and Zane's show. Turtle had a dropout, and because of the way her show was structured, she said she could not complete her show with the dropout. And then she's also now dropped the show as a producer. So, apologies to Aria, Gil Dragon, and Valkyrie Celeste. Us three producers are taking you over onto our team starting next week. But I invite you guys to still listen to Zane's show and listen to Charisse's show and still vote. You get to play the judge. Normally you listen to the shows, you don't get to judge. You guys get to be the judges tonight on which your favorite show was. Take into account the singers and the show format and just overall, the overall show, and vote. So thank you guys. I look forward to hearing the other two shows. I haven't heard them yet.